In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it all on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports in the Letterman's Jacket Room. We got Facebook Live going on. We got the ESPN crew here live streaming it as well. This is a cool deal. Love doing my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. Off to the right-hand side, looking at Letterman's Jackets from Hoover, Bullard, Kerman, Sierra to my right. There's Fresno Christian there as well. Behind me, Clovis North. Parlier and Clovis High share the same Letterman's Jacket. There's Kingsburg, Clovis West. We're going to have some Clovis West talk today. To my left, Sanger, Liberty, Madera, Sanger West. All the color schemes that you want from your, from the school of your choice. Again, love doing my show here. The ambiance is great. It really just shows the spirit of high school sports. And this is, believe it or not, guys, this is the final show of the school year. 40 shows in total. Not sure the exact date, but it was in August of 2024. This is the end of year number 4 of the Central Valley Sports Report, talking about high school sports every 2 hours on Saturday mornings. It's been an absolute blast. Again, I still, you know, I've been doing this, like I said, for 4 years, broadcast a lot of games as well. I still get that nervous energy before shows. It's kind of interesting. You think I'd be calm and cool and collective, but not all the time. I still get that nervous energy, that anxiousness, but I think that just means I care. I care about the subjects. I care about the content. I care about letting you guys know about all the great stuff that's happening in high school sports in the Central Valley, from Chowchilla to Bakersfield, even to the coast as well. So, yeah, today's the last show. I'll be taking a couple-month break. Not a lot of stuff going on during the summer month as far as high school stuff. Obviously, there's the basketball camps and the football camps. You know, there's some baseball stuff, travel baseball, soccer. But as far as high school, the Clovis West and Clovis North, right, they're going to be coming back in August. I think the first game's August 22nd on the schedule. So, yeah, take a little break. Got a couple vacations planned. One is my 25th anniversary. It's in September, but this is the perfect summer to go to New York. I'm going to be doing that July 22nd through the 26th. I got it all planned out. I'm a planner. Go and see a couple shows. Got tickets to the Mets, playing the Angels, right? You go all the way to the East Coast and going to see a West Coast team. But super pumped about that. 25 years married. Yeah, super excited about that trip. Going to do a little relaxing as well to recharge the batteries and come back as strong as ever in August. And again, thanks to 1430 ESPN for allowing me to do this and to be involved with high school sports. And I hope you guys enjoy the show, enjoy the content. Hopefully I got a little bit for everybody. Going to be talking with some more coaches today. Got a little football preview as well. Never too early to talk about football. It's also Father's Day weekend. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Dad to three daughters. Three beautiful daughters. My youngest just graduated from Bullard High. More on that in a little bit, and I'll let you know on Tuesday. But, yeah, Father's Day weekend. It's a special, special weekend. Going to see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade on Sunday. They're bringing it back. It's good, fun father-son movie. Harrison Ford, Sean Connery. So looking forward to that. So happy Father's Day to all the wonderful fathers out there. Like I said, we're going to have a little mix today. I'm going to have some news and notes in just a second, but we're going to take a look back at the year that was. We're going to take a look forward, a little peek into the 2025-2026 school year. Yeah, so after the break, we'll be talking with Eric Brown, the head football coach at Clovis West. Eric is he's a great guy. He's a football guy through and through. Clovis West grad, played at Fresno State. I remember his dad was a phenomenal football coach with Pat Hill. He's a Bulldog through and through, and a Clovis West Golden Eagle through and through. So they've had a pretty successful 7-on-7 summer so far. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring him in is, man, his skill position guys are blowing up scholarship-wise. Got some young talent, mainly his quarterback. If you guys aren't tuned into social media, maybe you don't know about this kid, but J.J. Howard, who started last year as a freshman, is getting tons of scholarship offers. He went to an Oregon camp, University of Oregon, their camp, and he threw the ball so well and looked so good. Oregon said, we want to offer you. We're offering you right now on the spot. So picked up an Oregon offer. Fresno State camp was last week. Coach Matt Enns went up to J.J. Howard and said, hey, we're going to offer you too, young man. So I think 13 total offers. Oregon State's offered BYU. So, that's quite an impressive summer so far. And he's offered in the fall as well. So we're going to talk with Coach Brown about his quarterback, about the 7-on-7 circuit, how the landscape has changed a bit. Because before EB came back to Clovis West, he was a college recruiter, worked for a couple colleges. So he knows the landscape, he knows the game, but how has 7-on-7 kind of changed recruiting-wise? Looking forward to that conversation. And then after Coach Brown, got a special guest, Juliana Roberson. She's a four-year member of the track and field team at Bullard. She was a class valedictorian at a 4.32 GPA. Obviously, anything above 4.0 is a bunch of AP classes. You're acing those. And one of her classmates and good friends, I'm going to keep that as a surprise, will be joining her. She's headed to UCLA. She was raised by deaf parents. And I remember talking to Juliana around her sophomore year. And she says, my goal is to be valedictorian and give a speech and be able to sign to my parents during my speech. And that happened last Tuesday. It was a great moment. My allergies were acting up when that happened. What a great moment. So Juliana is going to come and talk to us about that moment, running track and field, how she was able to balance everything. So that's going to be a great one. Hopefully you guys won't miss that one. At the top of hour number two, never too early to talk about football, Austin Kemp, my former podcast partner, the Clovis Sports Report, is going to be joining me with the preseason top 10. Going to talk about the teams. So we're going to try our best to lay out all the scholarship offers that have happened within the last few months with these young men that are attending these 7-on-7 camps. So always great to talk with Austin. We're going to be breaking down football the best we can so far. And at the bottom of the hour, here's going to be the wrap-up. Gabe Camarillo, you guys know Gabe, sportscaster at Fox 26. He's got a great beat on the high school scene. He's going to come in. We're going to talk about the best stories from this last school year. There's a lot of them out there. We're not talking necessarily about all the athletics, the games, the championships, but the best stories that are out there, putting a bow on the year that was. Okay, so that's the lineup. It's a great lineup. Looking forward to bringing you all that content. Last Sunday was the city-county baseball game. The city won their 8th in a row, an 8-3 win over the county. That was played at Chuck Chancey Park. And this Friday is a city-county football game, June 20th at Collegian Stadium, where the Central East Bengals play their game. Right? That's going to be hard to get used to, calling the Central East Bengals, formerly the Grizzlies. Maybe Austin and I will talk about that a bit. It's going to be hard to get used to. But City County football on Friday. Got to bring back City County basketball somehow. Man, that was just a phenomenal event. Got to get on some people to get that rocking and rolling again. Baseball and softball regional championships were also later last week. And how about this? Wood Lake softball, they are the SoCal D4 champs, a 4-3 win. They're also named the Cal High D4 team of the year. There's no pure state championship, so Technically, they're not the state champs. They're the SoCal regional champs. So congrats to Woodlake. Phenomenal season. Went 30-1 this year. Had Coach Lara on last week before their game was at 4 o'clock. They had to come back and win that one. So great story there. And how about Ridgeview Baseball? They went ahead and won the D2 Central Section Championship. And they won the D4 SoCal Championship. Great run from them. I don't understand how they win D2 at our section and then were bumped down, I guess, to D4 in SoCal. But they went ahead. They can't control that. They went ahead and won the whole darn thing. So congrats to Ridgeview. Congrats to Woodlake on great seasons. Football, coaching news. I'm going to go over a little list here. I put together some of the notable football changes. So last week we had Greg Clark, who is the new athletic director at Clovis South. And go back and listen to that episode. You could go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast and listen to that interview. Because I was kind of in the dark with a lot of things with Clovis South athletics. And Greg did a good job of laying it out, what the plan is for a football stadium. Yes, the third football stadium in Clovis Unified. What the gyms are going to look like. And the way you describe the gym, it's going to be absolutely unbelievable. It's going to be levels. It's going to be fantastic. That's not going to be ready until next year. They're going to start with grade 7 through 9 at the school and then build it up. So Benny Martinez, who used to coach at Clovis North, is spearheading the football program. They're going to have a couple camps this summer, but Benny's going to start out the program, start with freshmen, and then they're going to get somebody else in place. It's going to be a placeholder for a few years, and then they'll hire a guy. Benny might put his name in there and might get it, but it's not a permanent job for Benny Martinez at Clovis South. How about this? Redwood hired Curtis Allen. That's a pretty big name. Pretty big name. Curtis Allen, and from what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, Redwood, they're going to be a threat. They're going to be, they got some transfers. Israel Briggs transferred from Mount Whitney. He's a four-star guy. He's got an offer from Oregon, so he's going to be playing for Redwood. Clovis North, Colby Hunter, we've talked about that before. He was the offensive coordinator at Clovis East the last few years. So he's taken over the Bronco program. And George Petrosans is now at Clovis East. He came from the Sacramento area to coach Clovis West and is now at Clovis East. He was the offensive coordinator at, why am I blanking on the new Central School, Central Unified School. So George has taken over Clovis East. And Jeff Haynes at Central West taken over the program. They're going to be starting with varsity, so they're going to be thrown into the fire right away. Sunnyside, Gio Guzman, if you saw the news clips on that, he's taken over that program. That was really cool when they announced him. Everybody went nuts. They went crazy. He's obviously a favorite among the football players, so good on them. Baseball news. Aaron Penberthy is going to be the coach at Clovis South. Craig Clark announced that last week. And Clovis West, they're going to officially announce their guy, I think, on Monday. It's a name you're going to be familiar with. It's going to be his first time heading up a program. But I like it. I like it. It's very intriguing. So we'll check out the social media. We'll be for sure posting about that, the new baseball coach at Clovis West. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to bring on the football coach at Clovis West, Eric Brown. You're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Scorpions. One of my favorite songs from the 80s. We've got Eric Brown on the line right now. He is the football director of sport at Clovis West. I got to go back. Oh, my gosh. My mind blinked in that last segment. It felt so stupid. Justin Garza. Wow. How could I forget Justin Garza High School? That was the high school I was thinking on. Eric Brown is joining us right now. He's had a busy summer so far. We're going to be talking about the season that's coming up for Clovis West, the 7-on-7 stuff. So, EB, how you doing this morning, my friend? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me on, and happy Father's Day weekend to you, man.
And you too, as well. I remember when you were introduced as the director of sport at Clovis West at the press conference. You had your young children there, and they're getting bigger and bigger every time I see them. But Father's Day weekend, man, do you guys do anything special? Do the girls make you cards or anything cool like that? They probably do something homemade and then go celebrate something special. Is that how that works for you guys?
Yeah, they'll probably make something. And then we're actually talking about going out to Valley Golf Center in the morning and get a bay for me and a bay for them and just hit golf balls. So it should be a good day.
That's awesome. Do you guys have any other trips planned before the grind really, really hits?
We're not great at planning trips. We will go for sure. We're going to get to the beach probably once or twice. We talked about going up to Yosemite and maybe staying the night and hiking around. But we'll get away for sure. We don't have anything like dialed in.
Is it kind of something where maybe the night before you're like, hey, let's go take this big little, this hike at Yosemite or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that. And then, I don't know, we get on hotels tonight and you get those deals and it'll be Friday and we'll say, you know what, let's go to Monterey. And we'll just go and have, make a really good trip out of not really planning it. So we've had more fun on those than we have on the ones that you sit and plan and talk about what you're going to do all the time and end up probably too busy to relax.
Spontaneous spur of the moment. I like it. All right. So obviously nothing going on today as far as 7-on-7 with you guys, but what's the circuit been like for you? What are some events that you guys have participated in, and what's been your takeaway with your guys?
Yeah. So the main one we go to is the Fresno State one. So we went to that one, I believe it was last week or the weekend before. What we'll do is we'll host. We'll bring three or four teams out to Clovis West for the next few weeks. We'll do like Wednesday nights and bring a couple local teams that we don't play and, just get to work in. But I will say that Fresno State one, man, there's so many teams out there and there's some really impressive athletes. And they always do a really good job of running that thing and operating it and making sure it's organized and the kids get good exposure.
I missed it this year. I wasn't able to go. Last year was just a you're right. You described it well. There's just teams on different fields. There's kids walking around. You see college coaches. You see a little bit of everything at these events. So the Fresno State one, let's go back to that one a bit. Just kind of paint a big picture. How many games were you guys able to play? How well do you think your guys participated and competed in those events? Just kind of describe more of the landscape of everything.
Yeah, so each team gets put into their pools, and you're guaranteed four games. So we were in a pool. We had Sanger. We had I'm blanking. But, we had four solid teams in our pool. And we went 4-0 in that batch. And then, you get into the playoff seeding, and so you play until you lose. So we won our first game of the playoffs. I think we were the seventh seed out of the 32 teams. And so we went 4-0, a bunch of other teams went 4-0, and then they go off of points. So we got the seventh seed, and our second game coming into the playoffs was Clovis High, and they were kind of a buzzsaw that we ran into. So that's one of the teams that, I know you're going to ask about who was impressive. Clovis High, they looked really good. Obviously, their quarterback is legit, and if you can't get close to him and pressure him like I like to, he's going to sit back there and kind of pick you apart. But our kids did a really good job. I was really impressed by, obviously, J.J. Howard, our quarterback, but we had some guys coming off of injuries that looked really good, like, Rolando Jefferson picked up an offer that day, RJ, and then, Dom Tafoya looked really good in our offense. Julius Sanders looked really good. Major Lee, who's picking up offers, looked really good. And then defensively, our kids are doing a good job. Titus Dimmer is going to be a guy that gets offers. But yeah, our kids, they competed. You know, for the most part, they stayed within our stuff, our scheme, and you know they got better. You know, as the day went on, they got better, and then you kind of run into just the fatigue and the fall off at the end, where you've played so many games and it's hot, and you know guys get a little distracted and aren't as locked in as they should be, and then you know that's where we kind of fell off at the end. But no, I was happy with, you know, how we came out. And there's teams out there that'll run 7-on-7 stuff. You know, their offense and defense is not true to who they are. We are not that way. You know, we went through our 10 practices of spring ball, and we were doing inside run and, you know, walk through and making sure we know our scheme for the season. We didn't spend the day saying, here's what we need for 7-on-7. You know, so we're just doing our stuff, which I think is going to make us better in the long run.
And I'm curious, Eric, with 7-on-7, just really taking off, especially the last 5-6 years, kind of after COVID. Mm-hmm. Just how do you feel 7-on-7 keeps players sharp? Right, you hear the naysayers, and you kind of alluded to, I wish I could have put some pressure on the Clovis quarterback Deegan Rose headed
sure.
to Oregon State, right? Yeah, and then that's probably frustrating for you, because like, man, I would like to, you know, see him roll out a little bit more and do this to him. But how does it keep players sharp during this time, and what are the real benefits from it?
Yeah, I mean, you're really defensively, it's at its hardest, which is great in my opinion. You know, it's no pressure. It's how do we communicate? How do we pass things off? Because you're getting the hardest routes possible. Everyone's getting 5 people out, which for the most part, our defense doesn't allow you to get 5 people out. We're going to pressure you till you have to keep people in. But it's great for us to just work on, like I said, the communication piece and matching routes. And then offensively, you work on your timing, you work on your relationships, and you find kind of who can go get a ball. You find who can make somebody miss. And then they're working our schemes and understanding route concepts. And it's great for that piece. You know, I think some of the naysayers or some of the people that get frustrated with 7-on-7, and I get frustrated at times too, but it's those that you face a team that you know plays cover 3 or quarters, and all of a sudden they're playing 2-man every play because it's the best 7-on-7 scheme.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to run the ball if you're playing 2-man against us. That's where it gets frustrating, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely changed the landscape, right? You know, you want to win these tournaments, you want to look good, you want to raise the trophy, but work on the schemes that work best for your system, and what you guys are going to do come August definitely has its benefits. All right, I want to go back to the guy. To your guy, your quarterback, J.J. Howard. Seems like that guy is just picking up offers every other day. He was able to go to an Oregon camp, and I saw the highlights. I mean, he's throwing just a beautiful football all day, and mm-hmm. the coaching staff offers him on the spot. Again, only going to be a mm-hmm. sophomore. What are coaches saying about him, or how are they contacting you? What are you saying about him? I mean, just extremely impressive, especially for someone that just turned 15 years old.
Yeah. So the way it kind of works is these coaches will come out in the spring, and they're on their recruiting trail, and, you know, schools like Oregon, they have spots that they're going to directly hit. And then, you know, the smaller schools will have an area recruiter, similar to what I was, you know, in when I was coaching linebackers in college, was I would have the Valley, I would have from Sacramento to Bakersfield, and then I had the Inland Empire. Those were my areas. but those coaches come through, they get to know me for one, you know, and make sure they can trust me and trust my opinion. And then they get a feel for the kids, you know, that they ask about their academics, they ask about their character, they ask about their love of the game, and then, you know, if they get a chance to watch practice, they'll watch a practice or a lift or movement, and just get those kids dialed into their list and you know, figure out what kids we need to come to camp, quarterback, that position is one that you have to see in person for the most part. So JJ really, you know, his family did a great job of putting a list together of where they want to go, what camps they want to get to, because he needs to be seen. And, you know, so he's, after he's on these lists and these radars, he's going to these camps. And as soon as the quarterback coach and the head coach see him, every camp he's been offered. And, you know, what they're saying about him, obviously really, really strong arm. You know, he's got a really, really good head on his shoulders. He's confident, 100%, and I love that. But he's not cocky. He's not arrogant. He knows he's being offered right now because of his talent and his potential and where he's at right now. But if he's still there in 2 years, these offers aren't real, you know. So he knows he's got to just keep working and keep getting better and keep doing what he's doing. But he's doing everything right, and that's what these coaches are seeing. And, you know, everyone that gets around him is very impressed and, you know, pulling the trigger on an offer.
Yeah, and Coach Entz did the same thing last Saturday. I saw the clip of him coming up and talking to him. So that was really awesome. So you mentioned RJ and the Lee kid, and just how are they going to fit offensively, and how have their summers been? And Tafoya too. I mean, yeah, Tafoya coming back from that injury too. That's a great story.
Yeah. So, you know, all three of those guys are going to be a huge part of, you know, our success offensively and defensively. Major's going to play running back and safety. You know, he's just got to keep working and keep getting better. And but he's dynamic. His talent level's off the charts too. He doesn't look like going to be a sophomore. He looks kind of like a senior or almost a college kid. And then, you know, RJ's, man, coming off of an injury, not playing last year, he looks like an NFL dude, like, potentially. You know, he's long, he's really good route runner, and his catch radius is crazy. I mean, he goes and gets the ball anywhere it is. And JJ knows that, so he's able to kind of pinpoint and get the ball to him in great ways. But he'll be a really, really good receiver in the Valley that I think everyone knows. And then Dom Tafoya is, you know, coming back from that injury. He probably would have been our lead receiver as far as receptions last year, because he's kind of in the right spot at all the right times and finds ways to get open, and then he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. And then he'll be our really good safety for us too.
Talking with Eric Brown, the head football coach at Clovis West. All right, so August 22nd, your first game, home and home, right, with Huntington Beach. Last year, the game that we covered on 1430 ESPN was one of the great high school games of last year. J.J. Howard was absolutely amazing in that one. So you guys are going to be traveling to them. They are the defending champs. They beat Central in that championship game. I think a lot of people forgot who won that game, but it was Huntington Beach who you guys beat in game one. What are you looking forward to in that game? You guys coming in, you know, obviously with those players that you talked about, but on the road against those guys, that's going to be a really big opening game for you guys.
It is. Yeah, no, that's a really tough matchup. You know, it came down to the wire at VMS last year, where we, like you said, one of the more exciting games, we came back and scored with 2 seconds left, to put it within one. And I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be a great overtime game for us. You know, they were so much bigger bodies than us, and I think we're kind of on our last leg. So I took a page from Coach Hill's book, and I said we're going for two, and we're not taking it to overtime. And we ran a kind of our trick play swinging gate, and put it in who I thought our best guy's hand was, Titus Dimmer, and I just said let's give him a chance to get us in, and let's let the chips fall where they may. And so we ended up winning on a 2-point play, which was wild. So they're going to be ready. Coach Grady's a really good coach. You know, he's a former offense coordinator at Fresno State and former Bulldog with Jeff Grady. So it'll be a really, really tough matchup, but we're excited for the challenge for sure.
Awesome. All right, Coach, thanks for coming on and talking about Clovis football and 7-on-7. I had a bunch more questions, but unfortunately we're out of time. So thanks for jumping on.
That's
and
how it goes,
I know, man. We just always have really good conversations. But I'll see you this summer. I'll come check out a practice or two. So get that relaxing time, that time with your family, especially tomorrow, as much as you can. And then we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
All right, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to bring on one for sure, maybe two special guests here on the Central Valley Sports Report. You guys won't want to miss this. We have Juliana Roberson coming on, valedictorian at Bullard High School, headed to UCLA, ran track and field, and she got a great story. Coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Had a good conversation with Eric Brown. Could talk football with that guy for hours upon hours. Yeah, they got a special team coming up this year and special quarterback. I mean, gosh, how many just turned 15-year-olds get an offer from the University of Oregon on the spot? Well, that's what happened to his quarterback. So, yeah, thanks to EB for joining us. Right now we got a very special guest here sitting to my left, a special young lady, Bullard graduate, graduated on Tuesday to be exact, Juliana Roberson, a four-year member of the track and field team, 4.32 GPA, that's as high as it can get, gave a very memorable speech at the graduation ceremony on Tuesday, headed to UCLA, and she's got one of her friends next to her to her left. She might come in later for a question, so we'll leave that secret reveal maybe later in the show. All right, Juliana, how are you feeling right now? You feel good?
I feel really good. Thank you for having
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I asked you, I think, yeah, at my daughter's graduation party, right, it said, hey, you're going to give your speech, your valedictorian speech. I want you to come on the show and just kind of talk about your story and your incredible journey. Like you said, you're headed to UCLA. Just looking back at Tuesday night, now we're at mm-hmm. Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like what, just talk about the experience of graduation. Was it better than you thought? Was it as you expected? Looking out there at all the people and then seeing all your friends in robes and then parents mm-hmm. afterwards, just kind of the whole experience of graduation.
It definitely wasn't what I expected. I feel like you have an idea, like just past years going to graduations, you're like, oh, it's so cool. Like it must feel like very surreal. But as soon as I knew I was going to be summa, I knew I wanted to say the speech. And it didn't really hit me how like many people would be there until like that morning we had graduation practice and I was on the stage and I was like, whoa, like this whole, you know, Save Mart Center will be filled. But it definitely was better than what I would have imagined. It was super cool to just be up there and just say my speech.
What moment maybe took your breath away? Like when you got up on stage and looked out there, was it walking out? Was it maybe turning back? Or you actually were lined up in the back, mm-hmm. right? All 14 of the valedictorians. So you were able to look forward. Like, was there a moment that kind of took your breath away?
I think it was definitely like when I like just stood up on the podium, because I didn't realize when I was going to be speaking. So like with summas, you kind of stand at the back of everyone and then they call you up individually. And like as soon as I sat down, Principal Terrigan was like, oh, Brandon, which was like the other speaker. And I was like, whoa, like I'm supposed to speak next. So especially when I just stood up there and I just saw everyone, I was like, whoa, like I'm actually about to say my speech. But it was really cool. It definitely took my breath away for a second, though.
And you did an amazing job. Let's go ahead and get into that. So I've known you for the last 3 or 4 years. And what has stuck in my mind since I first met you when you talked about how you wanted to be valedictorian. That was a mm-hmm. goal from you from pretty early in your high school days. And one of the reasons why is you wanted to give your speech in front of your classmates and in front of your friends and family. One of the main reasons is because you were raised by deaf parents.
Yes.
And you wanted to sign to them.
Yeah.
And you did it. Mm-hmm. You were able to do that. So let's go back a little bit. Why did you set that goal of wanting to give the valedictorian speech and sign part of your valedictorian speech to your parents?
Yeah, so like how you said, both my parents are deaf, and so that makes me a CODA, which stands for Child of Deaf Adults. And my parents have just gone through a lot in their lives. Like, my mom is not originally from here. She's from El Salvador. And my dad was raised by a single mom. And so they both just had really big hardships. Just, you know, growing up and just adding another, like, layer to that, them being deaf. And, you know, there's a lot of adversity that comes with that. And I just know that they've just persevered so much in their lives. And I just wanted to prove, like, hey, like, you raised an amazing daughter, and that through you guys, like, I've learned to, like, work hard and, you know, set a standard for myself. And so I just knew, like, going into high school that I just wanted to make them proud. And when I realized, I was like, wait, like, I feel like I know I can do this. I know I can, like, get that GPA to speak. I just knew, like, especially too, like, my story is so, I feel like, special. And I feel like I just wanted to share that at least at my graduation, just with my parents there.
What exactly did you sign to them? Right, because you started out speaking, and then you mentioned that you were raised by deaf parents,
mm-hmm.
and then you signed, and there were interpreters down there too,
right.
Which was really neat.
Yeah.
So what exactly did you sign to them?
I said, this is for my parents who taught me strength without ever needing to say a word. Obviously, you know, being deaf, you can't speak, but they've just shown me, just through their actions, just how, like, strong they are. I've, you know, growing up, I've experienced a lot of things, just people being so rude to my parents and, like, treating them differently just off the fact of they can't hear or speak. But honestly, it does not change them as people at all. And it kind of baffles me in a sense, just because a lot of people treat my parents differently just because they can't hear or speak. So I just wanted to just tell them that they make me feel like the strongest person on the planet because they have shown, like, they can persevere through things. And so I just wanted to say that to them.
What did they tell you when they saw you?
My dad, he's not an emotional person. So a lot of, like, me and my brother were trying to, like, we were, like, making bets. We're like, is dad gonna cry? He didn't, but my family were saying, like, he was, like, pretty, like, he was very smiley, like, he was very just, like, happy. But my mom, she's been an emotional wreck, so they were telling me she was, like, sobbing. But we had, like, a really big hug when we saw each other, and my mom was, like, really upset because she thought I wasn't gonna sign in my speech.
Was it a total surprise to them?
So they knew I was speaking, and they thought I was gonna sign, but whenever I would practice it, if I was saying it out loud, I wouldn't sign in front of my parents. So they thought I was just going to speak. So a little, like, part of them were, like, upset because it's just like, wow, like, you're a CODA, you're bilingual, and you're not going to sign, you know? So when I finally, like, got up there and I signed, like, I think it was definitely a shock because they're like, oh, like, we definitely thought you weren't going to do that. So, yeah.
And I think a lot of people got emotional, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the graduation ceremony on Tuesday night, did some faculty members or maybe Mr. Trigian or anybody, like, come up to you and say what a special moment that was?
Today, people will still come up to me. Like, yesterday I was, like, in the store and someone came up to me and they were like, I was there at your graduation and I really loved your speech, which is really cool. Like, I kind of feel like a little celebrity when people come up and say that to me. But, when I first tried out, and because you have to try out for the speech.
Because they only, out of the 14, they only take 2 speeches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I tried out, and when I looked up, a couple people were already crying. So I was kind of joking. I was like, yeah, like, I'm going to make you cry. And then, like, some of the people were like, no, you actually did. So that's, like, it's definitely, like, a bittersweet feeling because it's just, like, the speech is very near and dear to my heart. And, like, I wanted to be able to show my culture while also, you know, saying, like, hey, like, you also graduated and this is, like, such a big feat for all of us. And it was really cool to just know, like, it really brought tears to people's eyes.
It was a great moment. It was a moment that people will not forget for a long time. Mm-hmm. Probably remember it for the rest of their lives. So UCLA. Right, getting into UCLA. You're wearing the UCLA shirt mm-hmm. right now, right? Loud and proud. What's going to be your major at UCLA?
I'm majoring in linguistics and Spanish. The hope is to be a speech language pathologist one day.
In a school?
Yeah.
All right, you want to work for schools or?
Yeah, either in a school, maybe private practice. I'm not too sure yet. I'm debating between high school and adults, just because I feel like it's when you're little, everything's always changing.
Yeah.
But when you get older, when we speak, we don't realize like it's all muscle memory. And so when things happen, when people have strokes and stuff like that, people go to speech language pathologists to learn how to speak again. And I just think like that's so like intricate and cool that like, you know, you'd have to relearn it again. So I would love to, you know, be a part of people's journeys on learning how to speak, because communication is so vital. Like growing up, you know, signing is just such a big part of my life, and I realized how it brings so many people connection through communicating. So
absolutely, absolutely. All right, so this is a sports show.
Yeah.
Right, and you ran track and field.
Mm-hmm.
at Bullard High School. First of all, how were you able to get that 4.32 GPA and run track? There were probably some moments you're like, oh my gosh, I'm too tired. I don't want to study for this test. I don't want to put in the work right now. But you persevered. How were you able to balance the two?
I think it always just comes back to, you know, my upbringing. I feel like I always think about, you know, how much adversity my parents go through. And I realize, like, you know, if my parents can do it, I can do it. And I also think it just comes with sacrifices. I feel like I'm such a routine person. And so I know, like, I knew going into high school, I was like, there's going to be things I'm going to have to give up, and that's okay. And, you know, I have, you know, all my life to live. I have so much life to live, and it's okay if one day I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to study, or you know what, I'm going to go on this run before I do something. I think that also just, like, you're having, like, people around you that are very supportive. I, like, my coach, he's always, you know, stress student before athlete. And, you know, even then, like, it's just like, okay, you know that you're a student before an athlete, but that means, okay, like, if there's days at lunch where you have to go talk to teachers and you have to be able to sacrifice your lunch to be able to do those certain things. And I think, like, it's really just built, like, a standard for me. And so once I kind of, like, built that standard my freshman year, I just knew, like, okay, if I can do it this year, then I can do it any year.
And absolutely, you did it. 4.32 GPA, valedictorian speech, talking with Juliana Roberson. Headed to UCLA, graduated from Bullard High School. All right, one more question. I'm going to bring in a special guest for a final question. Juju, if you could go back to, like, your freshman year,
mm-hmm.
right, transport yourself and give yourself some advice. What advice would you give maybe some people out there listening, like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through high school and play a couple
mm-hmm.
sports. Like, what advice would you give yourself, and maybe that could translate to people out there listening?
Yeah, I would say that, just, you know, appreciate the lows and the highs. I think that, especially in a world where we're so, you know, social media driven and stuff like that, we like to post all the good stuff. And so whenever you're in your lows, you're like, well, why am I feeling this way and this other person's, you know, having the best time of your life? I think that I would tell myself my freshman year that it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. And even on those lows, that's what makes those highs even better. So I would just say, you know, no matter what, even if you're feeling sad or, you know, down, it's okay, because it's not always going to be like that.
Great perspective. All right, we're going to bring in our special guest. And one of the reasons why I became connected with you, Juliana, is through my daughter. And my daughter,
yes.
Ruthie, is here. Ruthie Metters also graduated on Tuesday with you. So, Ruthie, you have I'm gonna pass the torch a bit. You have a question for Juliana.
Yes, I do. Okay, Juju. What is your favorite team or favorite athlete of all time?
I would say Cindy McLaughlin. Track has been such a big part of my life. Like, ever since I was little, I used to go watch, you know, track meets with my grandpa. And I was always so intrigued with the hurdles. And I never thought I would one day run the hurdles. But I remember, like, my freshman year, I started hurdling, and I wanted to, like, you know, do a lot of research on that. And then I came up on Cindy McLaughlin, and I just love her so much, just because she is such a, like, hard worker, yet so humble, and I really love that about her. And I love how, like, Christ-driven she is, and she just carries, like, so much elegance to her, even though, like, her training is, like, insane, and she does all this stuff, she still, like, can sit down and be like, well, just very humble and elegant. I love that about her.
Good answer. Good question asking there, Ruthie Meadors.
Excellent. Get it from my dad.
Good answer. All right. Well, Juliana, thanks for coming on. I know you're a little nervous, but you did a phenomenal job telling your story.
Me.
Absolutely. And sharing a bit of your journey. I know you're going to do great things in life, no doubt about it. When are you leaving for UCLA? Do you even know the dates?
Sometime in September. Early September.
All right. Life is kind of moving fast. Hopefully you have some time to slow down a little bit, breathe a bit, maybe take a little trip, and then UCLA in September. Again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be previewing some football with Austin Kemp. At the bottom of the hour, we have Gabe Camarillo coming on. We're going to be talking about the year that was, some great stories that happened during the 2024-2025 school year as well. Thank you guys for listening. We got one more hour coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Meadors, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra, open from 9 to 5. Monday through Saturday, not open on Sundays. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket room off to the right-hand side. You could come in, get your Letterman's Jacket all worked out, organized, put the patches where you want. They'll definitely walk you through all of those versions that they can sell you and customize it as you see fit. So thanks to First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsor. Again, this is the last show. We're going to take a couple months off, be returning in August. I believe August 9th is the Saturday we'll be coming back. So today's show, a little bit of looking forward, a little bit of reminiscing about the past. And I hope you guys were able to listen to the interview I just had with Juliana Roberson. Just a great story, great young lady that I've known for the last 4 years. Graduated valedictorian from Bullard High School, raised by two deaf parents, and just, oh gosh. That makes you a little emotional thinking about all the things that the family's been through. She worked so hard to give her valedictorian speech to her parents by signing it. So just good stuff, man. Those are the stories that I love. I love talking about, you know, breaking down games and rankings and stuff. That's great content, and we all love hearing about that. But we want to know about the stories about kids. So hopefully you guys are able to listen to that. All right, we got Austin Kemp on the show right now. Austin is I guess we can call you a frequent guest of the show, right? Year four, we had a podcast before this. Man, we rocked that thing pretty good. That was a lot of fun. But frequent guest, Austin Kemp. Yeah. What's going on, AK?
Yeah, I would say more so during football season.
Yeah.
We really hit it hard together in football season. So it's been a few months since I've been on the mic. So maybe a little bit rusty, but I'll get my voice back, and this will be a good start heading into August and September.
Yeah, never too early to talk about football. Obviously, lots of stuff going on with college football. NFL stuff is really ramping up as well. But high school football is right around the corner. Talked to Eric Brown about 7-on-7. What does that mean for translating to 11-on-11, right? I loved how he was talking about 7-on-7, talking about how Deegan Rose and Clovis High beat them. He's like, man, I would have loved to have blitzed him on this play, but you can't do that in 7-on-7. So it's a different ball game. But Austin and I, we're going to be breaking down some of the top teams that we think are going to be showcasing their skills next year. But is this, like, I know you're a baseball guy. You're part of the Buchanan National Champion, number one, 2011. You're coaching Buchanan at baseball right now. But something different about football, right? Kind of in the summer, you're talking about it, you're thinking about it, and then when fall hits, boom, here it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a year-round sport. I mean, all in fairness, I guess everything's a year-round sport now. But people used to always say, like, every season is football season because, I mean, that's just the most popular sport, I feel like, in the United States. People get so hyped up for football. They want the content in spring. They want it in summer. So any football talk is going to drive the ratings. So You always got to kind of keep it on the forefront of the discussion.
All right, so we're going to be talking. We have a top 10. I have a top 10, mm-hmm. right? You texted me yours. Yours is a little bit different, which is good. Good talking points. All right, I'm going to throw it to you a little bit. How do you want to do this? You want to just start with who we think the top teams are? We're going to start like from 10 on down to 1 for a final reveal? What do you think is the best way?
I would say maybe start at the top because I think it's going to be pretty obvious who's at the top, and maybe we just get that discussion
right
out of the way, and then it gets maybe a little bit more interesting as we go down.
All right. So those that are in the know, we know how good the Central Bengals.
Central East.
Central East. I got to put that East in there, right? You go to Max Preps, you type in Central. It's actually going to mm-hmm. the other campus, right? All right. So Central East, we got to get used to that. Central East Bengals, number one team. We know what they did last year, that great game that they put together against Clovis East for winning their fourth Central Section title in the last 8 years. Couple plays away from winning a state championship again. That would have been their second. But we knew watching their squad last year, they were a couple plays away, from beating Clovis East in the regular season, or I guess in track, and for beating Clovis North. They returned a lot of dudes. We saw a lot of good stuff on the field. We're like, that guy's coming back. Mm-hmm. That guy's coming back. Oh, my gosh, they're going to get that guy for 2 more years. They're going to be really good again, aren't they?
The crazy thing is, it's like last year was their down year in a sense, right? And I say that because they were led by so many juniors and sophomores. There was like, I don't know if I remember, there was like 14 or 15 sophomores on that team. So it was like, okay, well, you better get them in 2024 because it's not going to happen this year or next year. They're the clear-cut favorite, returning quarterback, returning running back, returning 3 leading receivers, and just a ton of people on defense. You look at the roster and you look at what they did last year, and it's the same team, and it's the same great coach coaching them up. So, I mean, personally, I'll just say it. I don't think a Central Section team is going to beat them this year or next year, and that's just it is what it is. But it's going to be awesome to see week in and week out because there's just so much talent on that team.
And you were on it pretty early. I remember a couple of years ago you were saying, hey, the JV team at Central, they demolished everybody in mm-hmm. the track, right? They only had a few touchdowns scored against it. So, just some wild stuff.
I remember talking, it was about 2 years ago when this incoming junior class were like 8th graders and 9th graders. I had like a contact involved with Central, and they're just like, hey, this class is going to be insane. And so I was kind of just waiting, and they would just smoke teams their 8th grade year, 9th grade year, and then they get up to varsity as sophomores, and they win it all. And now they're upperclassmen, and they're more physically mature, and it's like, okay, well, kind of extrapolate that. What does that look like?
Scary.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into a few dudes. So you mentioned their quarterback, Jelani Dipple, or mm-hmm. you mentioned the quarterback is returning a sophomore last year. At this time last year, I wasn't able to go to the Fresno State 7-on-7. I was able to go last year, and I saw Central's quarterback, and he looked small. I made a couple good throws, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, all right, I know Central has athletes. Quarterback position kind of concerns me, and I think it was this third game of the track that dude just was locked in. So only a sophomore, he was just slinging the ball all over the field the last 5 or 6 games for them. But kind of right. I mean, he's just an impressive player.
Yeah, and like you said, he's not big by any means. He's kind of smaller, but he can run. And there was just so much growth that took place from week one to the Valley title game
yeah.
last year. And he was maybe hesitant on throws early on in the year. Maybe wasn't so sure if he should pull the trigger. But like by the time you got towards the end of the year, and I specifically remember that Clovis North semifinal game, he was ripping throws in the seam and like crushing cover 3 coverage in the seam. And I was like, dang, like this guy is confident. He's making these throws. And then he just kind of used his legs as kind of a get out of jail free card, as opposed to being the main source of his production like it was early in the year. And once he got that confidence throwing the ball, and you combine that with his legs, it was like, I mean, I don't know what you do, because this is a confident guy who's athletic, and now And now he's making throws all over the football field.
Yeah, so he's got a great combination of being able to throw the short pass, the deep pass, and then the threat to run. I don't think you could put like a spy defensively on him because he's not that type of a threat, I think, right? I don't know. Like, he's just tough to defend.
He's tough to defend. And, like, he's not like a guy who's going to just outrun an entire defense in the open field. But, like, he's athletic enough and fast enough to where it's like a D lineman's not going to catch up.
Yeah.
So if he gets outside the pocket, it's like, okay, well, are we going to commit our resources to stopping him? Because if you do, I mean, you're leaving all these guys one-on-one with like the best receiving core in the section.
All right, so I got to talk about Brandon Smith. The dude has received a ton of offers. I think he just announced. Well, decommitted from San Diego State, right? Mm-hmm. Happy for that. On a personal note. Actually mentioned on Twitter, he canceled his trip to Boise State. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that.
Okay, so offers from Arizona, Fresno State, Washington State, UNLV, Cal, Utah. I mean, just, big-time schools here on the West Coast. The guy is an absolute dude. Some of the moves that he made in the state playoff game were just, like, almost like Bryson Donaldson-ish in a way. Maybe even a little step quicker. Maybe quicker feet, but that guy plays defense too. He's not only one of the best players in the section. I would put him up there in the state.
I think he's the most important player on that team, like you said, because he is a great running back. He is a very good, what does he play, like outside linebacker. And I know I had told this story, and I'll retell it briefly, but like his character and his leadership on that team is so important. And I remember specifically in that semifinal game last year against North. North had this long touchdown. It was like a 60-yard TD to go up 7-0 early. And there was a bunch of Central guys kind of just laying on the field in the back, just feeling a little bit sorry for themselves, like you do sometimes when you don't make the play. And he was going up to every single guy and helping them up, and he was, like, patting them on the head. And it just felt like we got this. Just go the next possession. We'll be fine. And that stuck out to me so much. And, I don't know, when you have that kind of character in a player with his talent – that's just like, that's such an important piece to have that not all locker rooms do have, especially in high school.
Especially in high school. All right. So you mentioned the receiving corps. That is amazing. So EJ Morgan committed to Cal already. You got Zeb White, Northern Arizona. You got our guy, Bayon Harris. Mm-hmm. Fresno State offered that guy. So there's three college players right there they're going to be able to throw to. And then Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
How sick is that?
It's, I mean, there's no bad option. And if one guy's covered, I mean, they're all four not going to be covered. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what you do as a defensive coordinator. If you're going to sell out to stop the run, if you're going to sell out to stop the pass, teams in this area, in this section, normally just don't have the guys to be able to say, okay, hey, there's four stud skill guys on the opposite side of the field. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you got to give a little bit somewhere, and this is a bad team to have to do that with.
All right, Austin. Yeah, I knew we'd do this. We just spent 10 minutes talking about our number one team, Central.
Yep. So the obvious pick.
The obvious pick at number one. All right, so to me, there's kind of another tier, so to speak. So we've got Clovis High, Frontier from Bakersfield, and then Liberty. Mm-hmm. It seems like Liberty's been there for the last 6-7 years as one of the top teams in the Central section. I kind of lump those three together. To me, they could be interchangeable. I'm hearing that Frontier is going to be dangerous. They loaded up. They got some new dudes. Let's just put it that way. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Liberty is always there. Central is going to be playing them. Oh, my gosh. I can't read that, Austin. Week five, whatever their fifth game is of the year, Central is going to be playing Liberty of Bakersfield. And then there's Clovis High, right? We've been kind of looking forward to this year's team for a while. Maddox Merrill, running back. Got offered a preferred walk-on from Fresno State, and Deegan Rose at quarterback, the Oregon State commit. This needs to be the year for them.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say those exact words. Like, it has to be this year for Clovis. And I know you're facing, in the same league, you have this juggernaut of a Central team, but you have to make noise this year. You have a, like you said, a Division I quarterback. Maddox Merrill at running back is as good as any running back in the section, I would say, like production wise, and he's tough to bring down. He's shifty and he can run. They have a tight end. His name is slipping my mind, but he's a Division I type of athlete as well.
Cyrus Mendez, 6'4", 225.
Yeah,
he's a dude.
And he has offers. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they're athletic. They brought in transfers last year who are juniors. They always have good freshman and JV teams to supplement the rest of the roster. So, I mean, it's going to be tough to win the track, but you this is kind of your year to do it if you're Clovis High, and there is no excuses. You have the team. A lot of these guys are 3 to 4 year players. So that's what I'm interested in, seeing if they can kind of get over that hump and make not just make noise this year, but make like serious noise, because this roster should be doing that.
So Frontier and Liberty as well, they'll be one of the top teams in the Central section. All right, so just Clovis West. Talked with Eric Brown, their young core man, Major Lee. He's only a sophomore, and Eric Brown said he's like, that dude looks like he's a senior in high school physically, mm-hmm. maybe even in college. And then their quarterback, and they got some good skill sets. What do you like about Clovis West, and what maybe some questions that you have about them?
I mean, they're winning Twitter right now, right? Every single day there's a new guy on the Clovis West team that gets an offer, it seems like. High-level potential at quarterback. I remember seeing Lee run last year, and I was like, this guy is good. And I looked him up, and I was like, this guy's a freshman.
Well, he's also 14 years old.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. Yeah. So that kind of like made me turn my head a little bit. And then they have a couple of receivers gaining offers too. So there's not a lack of skill or talent on that team. However, I think it's important to remember that there is a lot of talent, but a lot of these guys are still sophomores, and that is still, I don't know, a mental, I don't know, not a barrier, but like there's some mental maturing that needs to happen still, and some physical maturing that still needs to happen despite what these guys might already be. But I'm super intrigued with Clovis West because it kind of has a feel of maybe what Central kind of was last year, of maybe they'll take some lumps early because they are young, but by the end of the year, after you have 10 games under your belt in the playoffs, I mean, that's not a matchup I'd want to have to defend with all those skill guys running around.
Offensive line has been kind of their Achilles heel for the last couple years, protecting their guy. But I know the coaching staff will definitely, you know, work with what they got and design an offense that works well for that skill set. So I like it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a running back too and a good running game, which they should have, because I mean, Howard's athletic and Lee can run between the tackles. That makes things easier for your offensive line if you can have an effective running game, and just makes it easier to pass protect and do play action and things like that.
That'd be a fun team to be the offensive coordinator from, right? Mm-hmm. A team that you can build, you know, on your PlayStation.
100%. A little team builder action.
Team builder. All right, so let's get into the other three track schools: Clovis East, Clovis North, and then Buchanan. I don't have a good beat on either of those three schools, right? Mm-hmm. I think those three are interchangeable right now. We know the year that Clovis East is coming off of. Brandon Nagel stepped away from coaching. George Petrasson is now the coach at Clovis East. Clovis North is going to have a different look, mm-hmm. man. Colby Hunter, you know what he did at Clovis East as far as the offensive coordinator, spread it out. That team is going to look a lot different. And then there's Buchanan. There's a couple dudes that have some college offers as well. How do you see those three teams fitting this year?
Yeah, that's tough because there's so many moving parts, especially with East and North. But I'm going to take off my bias glasses a little bit here, and I'm telling you, I think Buchanan should be a pretty good team this year, and like on paper at least.
You're taking them off or putting them back on?
I'm taking them off, and this is an unbiased take.
Okay.
I think, like, talent-wise, there's a lot of talent on that roster that is maybe being overlooked. You have a guy like Grant Mosier, who's a linebacker who's picking up offers this summer. You have their sophomore running back, Gannon Sever, last year. He's picking up offers as going into his junior year. They returned Carvell Wafer, who is their other running back, as a sophomore. Donovan Dunmore, receiver and cornerback, has, like, 10 Division I offers. So, I feel like that's a team that's not really being talked about. And, I mean, they haven't had great years the last couple of seasons, but I think they could and should surprise some people. They have a lot of guys back on defense. Russell Devaney. They have a sophomore D-tackle that started last year. And then I think the most important thing before I wrap up kind of that Buchanan discussion is I think they're going to be the best they've been at quarterback since Jaden Mandel had left. And it's going to be a sophomore named Tommy Devaney. He was a varsity catcher this year and hit 400
as a freshman
yeah. and struck out zero times in like 50 at bats. And I know that's baseball and we're talking football. This is a mature kid. He's very athletic, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback for the next 3 years.
So they are playing Liberty Bakersfield. So Liberty's playing, what, three of the different track schools on September 11th. They open with Bakersfield. Bakersfield's on our list, but I think they're gonna have a good team again. All right, so you got a feeling about about North or East yet? I mean, I know they got some really good players. So Clovis East, O'Shea Webb, that guy's a dude on the defensive side. He's a Division I guy. Got Tristan Kircher, strong safety, so they're gonna be good in the backfield there on defense. Jamie Spurgeon's gonna take over at quarterback. He's big. He can run. I think he's like 6'4", 200, 210. And then Lindsey Graves, the running back, who really burst on the scene at the beginning of the year, unfortunately got hurt. He's like a Sac State kind of player as well. So there's some stuff to build around.
There is. And then, you know, the most important thing is, well, I guess two things. One is the new coaching staff, right? It is still going to be a spread offense. We know George Petrosans came from Clovis West. They ran a spread there. So the transition might be a little bit easier. However, I don't know, Ty Miller, we talked a lot about him last football season, and I got to know him a little bit in the City County game last week. That guy's an awesome kid.
Yeah.
He's super mature. He's great to be around. That is an irreplaceable player. They will not replace him. They won't replace his production. They won't replace his leadership. They can make up a little bit for it, right, like all teams try to do, but they're not going to replace him. And when you take a guy like that out of the program, it's going to be so hard. But like you said, like Spurgeon is athletic and he is talented in his own right. And I'm not saying he isn't. But I don't know. I would say Ty Miller is what, one of the five most important players in Clovis East football history. And I mean, 1 year removed from that, it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. But like, I like Graves at running back. I like Kircher, as a defensive back. There are pieces there. But man, that was such a good senior class for East. It's just going to be hard to replace those kind of guys and that kind of production.
Clovis North, they got Tyree Sams, one of the fastest players in the section at receiver. Coach Hunter likes Lucas Smith, the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of rotated a few guys last year. You know, they I don't think they decided on a guy until like week four, right?
Yeah.
And ran with him. Ramsey Ham, huge tight end. He got hurt late in the season too. Offensive and defense line is going to be their strength, but a lot of question marks about that team.
Yeah, this is actually a team I have no clue about, and I won't have a clue until the game starts, because I need to see it, because it's such a vast difference in philosophy. Like, we know Colby Hunter came from Clovis East. It spreads you out, throw it around. They had a running game, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing like what Clovis North has run the last 4 to 5 seasons. The last 4 to 5 seasons, we knew they were going to run it 80% of the time. They were going to be extremely strong because Coach Jay Cott got those guys to be strong and physical. And quite frankly, I mean, heck, they're replacing McKay Madsen, and you want to talk about production. I mean, he played every snap both sides of the ball last year. He got 30 carries a game, it felt like. It's going to be hard. And so you're going from, I don't know, two tight end, three tight end sets sometimes now to – what it seems like is going to be a spread offense, right? It's going to take me a couple games, I think, to see it before I can form a strong opinion. But I mean, they had like Central, they have good lower level teams mostly every year. I don't think they're going to lack talent. I think it's just going to be about how quickly does this new philosophy, this new offense, how quickly does it mesh, and like, will it work? Because it is quite different from what it's been.
And then, so that's 8 schools so far. And then Hanford and Tulare. We know what Hanford did last year. They're a great team. They lost to Clovis in a home game in the playoffs. They returned some guys. They replaced in their quarterback. But, yeah, you know, they're a 9-10, 11-12 team. Tulare's going to be interesting. Jordan Crist, the quarterback, led the state in passing 2 years ago as a sophomore. They're doing really well in the 7-on-7. They got a couple D1 guys as receivers too. So I put them there. And then I mentioned a little bit about Redwood.
Mm-hmm. They were on my list. They weren't on your list.
I got them as what do we put here? As an alternate.
Yeah.
So we're going to lump them with Hanford and Tulare. You got Israel Briggs, that huge kid that's got a four-star guy, 6'5", 200 pounds, got an offer from Auburn. So that I kind of lump those schools together as well. You got any other schools you want to shout out or thoughts on those guys?
I would maybe just expand a little bit on Redwood. They return their starting quarterback. They return their leading rusher.
That's right. That kid's good.
Yeah.
His name escapes me. But
escapes me too. But okay. I know what I said is a fact. But
Burke. Yes.
They return their two leading receivers, and like you just mentioned, they return Israel Briggs, who's going to play, I don't know, Big Ten SEC football.
Yeah.
They brought him in the transfer portal. I've also heard, I don't know the specific names. This is just kind of talking to people. They've added other transfers. So
yeah, they have. I think they got a three-star linebacker,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I know they were 4-7 last year, but they were playing a lot of first-year guys. I wouldn't be surprised. It's not a lock by any means, but I wouldn't be surprised if they are in the top division when playoff time rolls around.
And remember, I actually forgot, and then I remembered while researching it. Remember, there's two divisions for Division One. There's two 8-school
divisions.
1A
and 1AA.
I don't know why that escaped me. I'm like, why are there 1A champs and 1AA? So, all right. Anyway, I'm looking up Redwood's schedule to see how quick I could come up with that, because I think they play Clovis North. Right?
They usually do.
Are they doing it this year?
And they had been playing them tough for several years in a row now, but I haven't looked. Yeah, they do.
Yep, Clovis North week 2 on August 29th.
And Tulare.
And Tulare Union, that's going to be a barn burner. And then Hanford, right? So, yeah, so they got a nice little schedule. Then Centennial, right, from Bakersfield. All right, so let's recap really quick. We got Central East.
Central,
Bengals.
The Bengals, and they are officially Central East, so that's what we should call them.
Okay.
So they are the Central East Bengals.
Central East, all right. Clovis, again, this is not, you know, set in stone or anything. It's just kind of our ideas for rankings. We got Clovis, and then Frontier and Liberty is mine. Clovis West, Clovis East, Clovis North, then Buchanan. You probably argue against that, and then Hanford, Tulare, and Redwood. Got any counter to that really quick?
No, I just had mine was similar. I had Central East, Liberty, Clovis Frontier, and Clovis West as my top five. So same teams, just a little bit different order. But I did have Buchanan 6 and then I had East 7.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right, AK. We've talked about it, and then who knows, man, maybe in October, middle of October, this will be totally blown up.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
That's how it usually
works. That's the way it should be, right? So there's a preview again. Thanks, Austin,
for
coming in
for
and chatting it up. And it's never too early to talk about football. We'll relax a little bit this summer, maybe go catch a couple practices, text some coaches, talk to some parents, whatnot about football, and then we'll do it again when August rolls around.
Yeah, call me anytime. I'm always down to talk some football.
You are the quickest texter backer friend that I have. I love that about you.
Hey,
Austin, what do you think about this? Boom, dot, dot, dot. Here it comes.
That's some people probably don't like that, but I usually have my phone, and if I see the text, I'll respond.
Thank you. All right, good stuff from AK. We're going to bring on Gabe Camarillo. We're going to kind of go in reverse. We're going to back up. We're going to talk about the great stories from the 2024-25 school year, and that will wrap up year number 4 here on the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it all on 1430 ESPN. All right. Had a preseason top 10 or top tiers, different tiers as far as the football teams to look forward to coming up in the 2025 season. Really excited about high school football. Like Austin Kemp just said, he's like, hey, football dominates the airwaves when it's on, right? And there's lots of reasons for it. It's the sport with the most amount of players, right? And, we like contact. We like violence, so to speak. And so, football is king everywhere you go. Excited about football starting up in in August as far as the games we play. All right, time to bring in Gabe Camarillo, frequent guest on the show. You guys know him well. The official title at KMPH is what? Help me out.
Sports anchor and reporter.
Sports
so
anchor and reporter.
It's anchor Saturday, Sunday, or, you know, whenever Ralph Wood is off on the weekdays, I fill in. And then reporter, whenever he's anchoring, I'll go out in the field and find a story to tell for that day.
And you do an awesome job on that. You just did a really good one on J.J. Howard. I love those stories, Gabe. You do a great job. All right, so we're gonna talk about the great stories from the past year and things that popped up into your mind. I have a few here. You have some. And just kind of talking off air, like, we got some different stuff, man. We got some good talking points. All right. We don't necessarily have to go in any order here, Gabe. We're not going to do a countdown necessarily. But what is something that really pops into your mind from this last year that maybe – right, is going to be the future of high school sports?
So I saw, you know, some of what you had, and they were all like winners and champions. And so I wanted to kind of go in a different way and twist that question with, what are some of the top trends that have become stories that we've seen in high school sports this season? And one of them I noticed right away in August of last year was all the transfers, how many different players moved schools, different schools for these spaces that I always associated, like Carlos Young with Sanger High School, because that Sanger team that he was on 2 years ago now was so good, almost beat Clovis East in the playoffs, if you remember. And, you know, now he's with Clovis High, and there's other kids I can name. You know, North got Tyree Sams from Edison, an electric runner, the fastest kid in the Valley 2 years in a row. And there's been other transfers, too, for different schools. Clovis East is a big one, obviously, because they got – kid from Roosevelt, kid from Bullard, kid from Central. They got kind of everyone going together. And you look at the trend, and all these teams have really good quarterbacks. Like Clovis East had Ty Miller, and I'm sure that's why some kids said, you know what, I'd like to play with a Ty Miller. And Central was the exception to that rule. I mean, they could have had some transfers that I don't know about, but JV quarterback called up. Brandon Smith been there since a freshman. You know, a lot of those kids have been there since freshmen, and they won the whole thing, and they beat some of those transfer schools. So I'm curious, does this trend continue after we saw that the antithesis to this idea that you can transfer to a school and win a championship was proven wrong by the Central High Bengals, we'll call them next year, the Central East Bengals? Or are we going to continue to see that? Because I feel like these coaches aren't going out and recruiting these kids. The kids are seeing, you know what, there's a really good opportunity for me. If I'm a receiver, to catch passes from this quarterback or that quarterback, I'm going to go there. Do we continue to see that? Or does Central just throw that to the wind and say, we have our homegrown kids, or mostly homegrown kids, and we're going to continue to win championships that way?
So are you saying the product, or, you know, hearing the media talk about kids or seeing social media posts, like, that is – basically selling their school to
Absolutely.
Everybody else?
These kids are all over social media, and I think that might be part of it. And it's not just football, too. I want to make sure that this is seen throughout all the sports. You know, in basketball, we've seen transfers. Not as many, but there's definitely been some transfers. I mean, Connor Sheets came in from Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Buchanan kid, and he was the best player in the Fresno area this season. In baseball, Buchanan had a lot of transfers from Washington Union, from Clovis East, and you can't blame them because Buchanan's a brand. It's like everyone wants to play for the Yankees. Everyone wants to be traded to the Yankees. Gerrit Cole went from the Pirates to the Yankees. Juan Soto went from the Padres to the Yankees. So it's like, yeah, of course I want to play for the Yankees. High school sports is not sacred in that way anymore. It's not, oh, yeah, I grew up going to Alta Sierra, I'm going to go to Buchanan. It's, I went to Alta Sierra, I might have attended Buchanan as a freshman, but now I'm probably going to go to North because you have a really good quarterback. Just a high
hypothesis.
Or not a hypothesis, analogy. But, yeah, that's my thoughts. That's one trend that I really found interesting, was how many more transfers there were this season than the previous. And this upcoming season, I'm sure there will be more.
Yeah, I found myself doing that last year too, Gabe, right? Doing research for the games that we would broadcast on Friday nights. I was like, oh, I didn't know that kid. That kid was on this squad this year. So, yeah. I'm definitely seeing that more and more. You think it's mirroring just what's going on in college football?
Absolutely.
Or college sports?
Absolutely. And I think that's where they get it from, too. Like, the kids who play high school football and basketball and baseball. You know, Paul Skeens went from Air Force to LSU.
Yeah.
He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I don't want to sound like I'm knocking transfers. I'm just noticing it as more of a trend. And I think people should be more willing to accept transfers because they're not going away. Like, NIL's not going away. Transfer portal's not going away. So either get along with it or I guess don't and just have to live with it. I'd rather get along with something that I know is not going to go away than just have to be upset about it every day.
That's kind of where I am sometimes, Gabe, I'll be honest. I'm a traditionalist. I'm old school, right? I like schools, right, that keep their homegrown kids and want to be
– Is there anything wrong with movement, though?
I know, right? I just like the schools, the players that represent – right, their town, their community, and want to be, you know, a Sanger Apache when they grow up, right? Like, to me, that's important.
Yeah. I think it's important for coaches to not recruit kids. I don't want coaches to go out there and say, come play for my team. That's not what I'm endorsing. I'm endorsing players' right to say, you know what? I think if I want to be a bigger recruit or prospect, then I should go to this school. And if they're not good enough, then they're not going to be on the field at that new school. But if they are good enough, it'll show. I mean, I think there could be some kids who move to schools and get offers because of that. And then there's some kids who try to do that and aren't good enough for that opportunity. So I think a kid has to know his value before he makes that decision.
All right. That's a hot topic, Gabe. I appreciate you bringing that up first. All right. So I'm going to lump two of these together. Girls basketball. We know the story program that Clovis West is, winning their 13th straight Central Section Championship, which actually isn't a state record. The state record is 16 by Mission Prep. They actually tied Clovis West did St. Mary's of Stockton with the 13 consecutive Central Section Championships. But it wasn't easy, right?
No, it wasn't.
We saw that game, man. They needed overtime. They needed every steal, every rebound that they could get to win that basketball game. Clovis had them on the ropes, that's for sure. But their only loss was to Archbishop Mitty. A couple plays away from playing in the state championship game. Can Clovis West do it again? We'll find out. But just a continued great story from Craig Campbell and his girls. Another thing, a top story for me is the Carruthers girls basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. With the passing of Larry Trigero, an assistant coach, passed away after the Clovis High game in the Central Section playoffs. And what those girls do? They just went ahead and won the D2, not D4, right? Not D3 like they did the year before, but D2 state championship in big fashion. Just the dynasty there from Coach Anna Almeida. That community is definitely bought in. I went to Carruthers about a month ago, and I just forgot just how small of a community that is and the lack of stoplights and just the great town that they are. But just – what a great story for girls basketball. Carruthers and Clovis West, just fantastic programs.
I think Clovis West is an antithesis to what I was saying earlier because all their kids are homegrown and they're in the system from kindergarten to 12th grade. I mean, even Swillis was growing up in the Clovis West system. And then she came back and was arguably the most dominant girls basketball player in the entire Central Valley, accounting from Stockton to the Grapevine. She was the most dominant. And so it was really nice to see them get rewarded for that, the hard work that Campbell's poured into these girls, not just this year, not just the past 4 years, but since they stepped on a court, he's probably been with Riley Walls and Keegan Medeiros, and there's more coming. That's so – what's bewildering about Clovis West is they feed themselves. Yeah. Ramey Chapman is going to be a star this season coming up, and there's just more and more Clovis West girls players to the point where you don't see the end coming. I mean, you might have saw it coming when they were down by 3 with a minute to go against Clovis, or down by 2, whatever it was. They were down with, like, very little time left. They tied it up, and then they held Clovis to no buckets until, like, 10 seconds left when the game was decided in overtime. That was really good defense, classic Craig Campbell team that plays amazing defense and finds enough offense to win. And then as far as Carruthers goes, Emmy Almeida still has more basketball to play. Yeah. And so she's going to be definitely one of the big names to know, but so does Jaylee Moore. She has something to say. She's also an underclassman that's going to come back, and another team that you could see making another run at the state championship. I wish they would get a chance at the section championship. That's one of my beefs, Paul. One of my big stories and trends was how much we talked about the playoffs and not the games, but the matchups, like in football. What was Tulare, Sanger, and Hanford doing in Division I AA facing Clovis East, Clovis North, and Clovis? I mean, we wouldn't do that in any other system but this one where we rely on a computer and just follow the computer blindly. I'm really happy to hear that they're going to come out with this new rule this fall where unless you're in the top 25%, so like if it's a 16-team bracket, you got to be one of the top four seeds in that bracket to move up to that bracket. If you're not, then you stay in your base division, which for Sanger, Hanford, and Tulare, I think is D2. Now, they could have changed the base divisions. That might really mess up those three schools. But I think they should stay in D2. They could have won championships in that division. They could have had some great battles against each other in that division, but we were robbed of that because of the playoff system that also made some people upset in basketball. I mean, Central High School, big fan of the Bengals / Grizzlies, but Division II Boys Basketball Championship, they were in it against Mission Prep. If Central won that, I don't know. Does that rank up with the Cash Williams teams that won three in a row a few years ago?
No. I think, yeah. Right. Division
Honestly,
two,
yes,
Division
you're right.
One. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think. How about, all right, just going back a little bit. I mean, Austin and I just went through, like, top 10, top 11 teams we think are going to be entering for football. How about this, Gabe? Just put Central, Clovis, just call it right now, Frontier, Liberty, Clovis West, Clovis East, Clovis North, and Buchanan in that top tier for football.
Yeah?
It's easy. It's just right there.
And I feel like that we haven't seen a team outside of those win a Division I championship in a very long time.
No.
So, I mean, going back to Carruthers girls, they were put up in Division I. They had to face Clovis High School, which we saw in the championship game was almost going to be the undefeated nationally ranked Clovis West team. So to ask Carruthers, with their small school population, they're really good. But that's like asking Gonzaga to beat Duke in a winner-take-all matchup. Now, one day Gonzaga is going to beat Duke in a big NCAA tournament game, but not yet. Carruthers might one day beat a Clovis High School or Clovis West, but not yet. I still feel like Carruthers should be in that in-between ground where they probably are too good for Division II, but not quite competitive with the size yet of their school to be Division I.
Well, when I had Coach Almeida and then Emmy on the show after they won the state championship, I said, well, what are your goals for next year? And I don't know why it surprised me. She's like, I want to play at Selland Arena. And I'm like, you won a state championship 2 years in a row. And you, like a goal,
right.
like it was just kind of foreign. Like, oh, yeah, you're right. You have not played in Selland Arena yet.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that either. And they were in the quarterfinals in that Clovis Carruthers game.
And they had a lead in the fourth quarter.
They had a lead in the fourth quarter, but then if they won that game, they'd have to go to St. Joseph.
Mm.
And then you have to face, like, that's asking a lot for a school that's in the same category population-wise as Menachie, Sierra Pacific.
Sure.
Like, you're not asking those schools to play Division I, but you're asking Carruthers. Maybe they're too good for their own good. I love saying that. Too good for your own good. That's what Carruthers is. And they're two-time state champions, so they're not complaining, I don't think.
No. They got two big rings. All right, Gabe, you got something else? You got another talking point?
Yeah, let's talk more about the accomplishments. Clovis North softball dynasty, back-to-back section champions. And this is the two seasons after Ryan Maddox graduated. Remember Ryan Maddox, like arguably one of the top softball pitchers we've ever seen?
Yeah.
She only got one ring, and it's like almost
a crime. And that was her sophomore year.
Her sophomore year with Alexis DeBoer, who is Big Ten Freshman of the Year. you know, no big deal. But that team was really good 5 years ago now. But then, you know, back-to-back playoff losses to Stockdale. If not that, they could have possibly won five in a row, if not for the Stockdale Mustangs. That, I think, in itself speaks a lot to Courtney Dale and her job as a head coach, and what she's built there is built to last. Beyond a dominant pitcher, beyond a dominant hitter, she's developed a culture there that I feel like, you know, reminds me a little bit of what you saw with Clovis softball about a decade ago, right? The teams that Mike Noel had that just consistently – you told yourself they're going to be at Marjorie Wright Diamond at the end of the year.
Yeah, those Clovis softball teams were out of this world. A lot of fun. All right, how about McKay Mattson? All right,
yeah.
I'm going to bring him up. He's on the show last week. You know, he gets a lot of love, and he's won a lot of awards, but deservedly so. I don't know, Gabe, if I've ever seen an athlete in the last 20 years, just as far as character, as far as accomplishments on the field, as big as him. Mm. I mean, double winner 2 years in a row, state shot and discus, the Valley Championship in football, that incredible championship game that he had against Central where he ran, what, six carries for like 250 or something? I don't know. I think I'm exaggerating a bit. I'll have to look that up. But it was just a remarkable game. But it's going to be a while, Gabe, until we see an athlete like him.
And he did it on both sides of the football because he was one of the hardest-hitting safeties in the Valley. I can't say enough good things about McKay Mattson. He's been a really good kid, too. Like, not when you're in that position, it's easy to be full of yourself, but he's not that. He's not conceited. He is selfless, and he thinks about his teammates first. I think running back's one of the most selfless positions because you're putting your body through a hurting for your team. Literally, sometimes putting the team on your back was McKay Mattson because of the quarterback situation this year. They were rotating quarterbacks. They didn't have a Mario Cosma, a senior leader that could guide the ship. So a lot of the time, McKay Mattson was, you know, the entire Clovis North offense. That time they beat Central in the regular season, he had the pick six to win that game.
94-yarder,
I mean, that was the difference in the game. Right, so, and then the track and field, I think, is even more impressive because he didn't just beat the competition.
Smashed.
He smashed, exactly, by several feet in the shot put and discus. I feel like that's not the last time we'll hear McKay Mattson's name. We're going to hear him after his mission in Argentina.
Yeah.
Just the most bizarre thing is he's not even going to go straight to BYU. He's going to go on a mission to Argentina. He's going to come back probably even stronger than before and compete, I hope, in two sports there, track and field and football.
Yeah, we hope so too. Gabe, we got 1 minute total left in the show.
Give me your other ones and I'll
give
you mine.
So Edison Boys Soccer, what a great story, beating Clovis North. All right, what do you got really quick?
Buchanan basketball wasn't really good until Tom Orlich took over. And I think Tom Orlich has done an amazing job. Connor Sheets, as I said earlier, what an addition for that program, a game changer. He won the Buchanan Male Athlete of the Year Award over, I think, a lot of deserving candidates. Connor Sheets was the best Buchanan athlete this year and one of the best in the Valley.
And, Tom Orlich, one of the best coaches in the state of California in the history. All right, Gabe, good stuff, man. Have a great summer, my friend. Enjoy all your videos that you make and the connections, and you do a fantastic job. Thanks for coming on.
You as well, Paul. Thank you for having me, and you had a great season. Look forward to talking to you next season.
Absolutely. That is a wrap on year four of the Central Valley Sports Report. Going to take a couple months break. We're going to be returning on August 9th, and we're going to be hitting the ground running. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate each and all of you. It's a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy the content and get to know all the great stories like we reminisced about, all the great athletes that we have here in the Central section. This is a lot of fun. Again, thank you guys. Really appreciate all of you. Also, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Their weather report, as we do as always, it's what, going to be 96 degrees today. Thanks to First String Sports, as always. Thanks to Eric Brown, Juliana Roberson. My daughter Ruthie was able to come on and ask a question for her as well. That was a lot of fun. And Austin Kemp and Gabe Camarillo. Have a great summer, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.